Good evening. Everybody, has anybody figured out what the lesson's on tonight? Electricity's going out. Be prepared. No, I'm not that predictable. But no, tonight we're going to talk about Lot. I was thinking back as I was preparing, thinking about stuff that I enjoy. And one of the first memories that I really remembered was about 7 years old. My grandfather was a carpenter, Junior Chaffin. He built a lot of houses. And at 7 years old, he was building our new house right next door to his and Granny's house. And it was so neat because on those days that I stayed with Granny, I could walk next door and see Pa building something. And every once in a while when I'd go over there, he'd say, "Tyler, what are you doing? I come to see you." And he would take his little pouch of nails and hand me a hammer, usually just a little bit bigger than me. So I would clank it over there. He would tie that little pouch around me, give me about 20 nails or so. He'd say, "Have fun." Okay. But then he'd add, "Be careful. You might smash your finger." So I would take that nail and I'd watch what he was doing. And I'd see he would hold that nail for a second. He would tap it a few times. And then he'd hammer it in. So I thought, I got this. And then, of course, about that time, Karate Kid 2 was out. And you tap it in. And then one hit. And you nail that nail in all the way through. So I had to try this. So that one wall, I'm pretty sure, will never fall because it's got 20 nails in it. But I was always fascinated with that, watching him create something. Because before he built that house, there was nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. Just flat land. And from that, he dug a footer, you know, he poured the foundation, and he watched every bit of it. If anybody knew my grandpa, he was there every step of the way. But from nothing there was this beautiful house. And that's what we called home up until just a few years ago. And still to this day, a couple times a year, I will drive down Double Springs Road. The address was 1309 Double Springs Road. I still remember it. And I'll drive down through there just to see that house that Pa built. And right before he finished it, as he was pouring the little front patio area, he had me write my name in it. Tyler Bill is what he called me. So Tyler Bill is in that patio, signed, and the year that he built it. And creation has always fascinated me. How things were built, how things were made. And sometimes, I know my parents probably hated it, I would take stuff apart just to see if I could put it back together. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes, guess what, it didn't. But it's always fascinated me. And every time I read the account of creation, I find something new about it. And that's what's so neat. So church, how does the Bible start? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I think we can all say this together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how was it? The very next verse says, "And it was without form and void." There was nothing there. But God created everything. It says, "And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of the deep." But then verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light." I think there is something that we can take from that. Let there be light. You see, this is the very first thing God creates. There's nothing there, just God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see all that in verse 2. But verse 3 says, "Let there be light." But then God saw the light that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. I think there's several things that we can take just from these few verses, and that's what I want us to spend the time looking at tonight. The lessons that we can take is, this is the very first thing God created, is light. And as we go through the lesson, we see that God is light. So I think we should always remember, God wants to be first. He wants to be first in our lives, no matter what. The second thing that we can take is, we need to radiate His light in this dark world. The third thing is that light is good. Remember, it says, God saw that the light was good, and He divided it from the darkness. So light is good, and darkness, we can assume, is bad. So we can put those two together. And the last thing is that we need to grow our light as we grow as Christians. So we're going to look tonight at how God wants to be first in our lives. See, I kind of made a display up here of how light started. It first started out to us as humans as a spark. Just a little tiny spark. Nothing big. But when you add that spark to something else, you create a bigger light. And then we move to candles and so on and so forth, and we go right down the line. But God says, I want to be first. And that was the very first of His creation. We even see that He teaches this throughout the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament, that God wants to be first. And as He is leading His people out of Egypt, remember, He chose the Israelites and says, my people are in captivity. These are my chosen people, and I have an inheritance for them. And I want you, Moses, to go and lead them out of Egypt back to the promised land. And He says, but fear not, I will be with you. So after they leave Egypt, they cross the Red Sea. God leads them by a pillar of fire. He goes before them as light so that they can see where they're going. He goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 5 as He is giving them the Ten Commandments. He says, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with you in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, and all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between you, the Lord and to you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. And He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. He wants to make sure that they know that He should be first in their lives. He said, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor shall you serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But I show mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, I want to be first. He says, don't make anything to be like me, because I created them. I created everything that you see. And I created light. And that was the very first thing that I created. And I lead before you with fire. And I talk to you through fire. He says, going on, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount even said in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's saying, you have to choose. You can't be loyal to two things. You have to pick one. But then he goes on in the next few verses, says, therefore, I say, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the field of the grass, which is today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. But he goes on. He says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, God goes on from the Old Testament to the New Testament and repeats, I want to be first. Sometimes that's hard for us today, isn't it? We get caught up in the cares and the struggles of this world. We worry about what we're going to eat. We worry about what we're going to wear. Sometimes we worry about where we're going to be and if we're going to make it there on time. For us, sometimes that's hard. A family of five trying to be somewhere on time gets a little challenging. And we worry about that, but God says, don't worry about that. But seek me first and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, God wants to be first. In John chapter 3, he goes on, starting in verse 22, and it says, after all these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. And he goes on in verse 30 and says, he must increase, but I must decrease. See, John the Baptist was the one that baptized Jesus. And he says, Jesus needs to increase because he is God the Son, and I must decrease. And he says, he who comes from above, starting in verse 31, is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. For he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. You see, God is light. And that's his very first creation. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. God is light, and he gives to us abundantly if we seek him first. The thing that we are told to do, though, is to radiate that light, is to pass it on. You see, the moon, how many people look at the moon? The moon radiates the sunlight so that we can see it. That's what we do, is we radiate the sunlight, because God the Son is our light. He is the true light. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came as came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, and that was the true light, which gives light to all men. You see, Jesus was the true light, and we are to radiate his light for others to see. Anybody ever been in a cave? Anybody been in a cave when they turned it completely dark? What is the very first thing that kids are afraid of? Dark. As a young kid, I was terrified of the dark. I had a Ninja Turtle nightlight. I still have nightlights in the house. Luckily not for me, but for the kids so that they can see their way. And the very first thing that we do when we get up in the mornings is we go in the bathroom. We may stumble our way there, but what's the very first thing we do? Flip on a light so that we can see. Light is used every day of our lives, but it's also the most neglected thing in our life, isn't it? We don't ever think about it until when the power goes out. That's when we start realizing how important light is. And we are supposed to radiate that true light that come from God. As you can see, I didn't want to light a fire just in case the smoke detectors and we all get wet. But Mike, you hit the lights for me. One little light can bring some light to us all. But I passed out a few flashlights throughout the auditorium. Could y'all turn those on for me? If you look around, we have a few lights out there. This represents the dark world. And Jesus came into this dark world to be the light of men. And you can see that light, can't you? But when everybody comes together, that light gets a whole lot brighter. We have a lot more light. Okay, we can turn the lights back on. You see, God calls us to radiate His light. In Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 5, he says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who all are in the house. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify" who? Glorify the Father who is in heaven. You see, we're not called to be the light that people glorify, but we are called to be the light that radiates from the true light so that they may glorify Him who is in heaven. You see, one of the very first songs that we as kids learn to sing is "This Little Christian Light of Mine." Isn't it? We all learn that as little kids. And I think some of my favorite parts of that song, and I think most of the kids will agree, it's that we try to it out, right? We like to it out. And sometimes we like to try to hide it under a basket and yell, "No!" But so many times as we go through the world, we forget that we are supposed to let our light shine so that others can see, not us, but God in heaven and glorify Him. As we all went to CYC, Lonnie Jones did a skit where he walked around and he was walking around. He was going, trying to blow it out. And he said, "I can't blow it out." I said, "Why do you want to do that?" And he goes, "I don't want other people to know that I'm a Christian." And then later on, they go and do a few more skits and you see him coming back by and he's, "No." And he keeps trying to cover the line. And it keeps popping off. And he goes, They go, "What are you trying to do?" He says, "I'm trying to cover my light. I don't want others to know that I'm a Christian." He says, "But I can't." You see, we need to radiate that light that is from heaven above. In John chapter 8, starting in verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You see, we can radiate Jesus' light to others. As you notice, one little light is not very bright. But we added six more to this little light, plus my flashlight. All of a sudden, the world starts seeing something different. In Romans chapter 12, it calls us to be transformed from this world. Not to be like anything else that this world has to offer, but to be different so that we can show that light. Then we see that light is good. In verse 4 it says, "And God saw that the light and said, it is good. And He divided it from the darkness." So many times we realize that these worst things that happen to us happen in the dark, don't they? You see, darkness is bad. It says that He came into this world to be the light, and the darkness did not like it. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it says, "For you once were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." You see, we are told to be light, to expose darkness. Anybody ever heard what Paris is nicknamed the city of? Paris is nicknamed the city of light. Anybody know why? In 1889, they were among the first cities to start using street lamps. And because they started using street lamps, people could then go and do activities at night. And they started growing and becoming busier and busier and adding more street lamps. So that way people could walk around and do things. They could go to restaurants and eat then. But also, crime went down because light was shining everywhere and they didn't want to be seen. That's what He's telling us here. Be light so that darkness will go away. He goes on, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore He says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" See, light is good. And it only comes from one spot, and that's God. So many times we forget that. But the last thing I think we really need to look at is as we grow, our light grows brighter. You see, that little spark I made at the very first, was it very bright? Not all that bright. A candle, you have to put a bunch of them together to see something in the dark, don't you? It only puts off just a little area of light. And then they moved. Technology grew from candles to gas-powered lamps and lanterns. Even to something similar to that. And then, as technology grew, we got bigger flashlights, not very bright. And it's very heavy, awkward to carry. And then they started coming out with better flashlights with brighter bulbs to spotlights to even headlamps that you can put on your head and use in dark corners. To one of my favorite little things that I got this year. I use this a lot, by the way. This came from the Jollies. But, you know, you have a bright little light. But if you really watch, it can put off a whole lot of light. Because technology has increased so much. We go from regular bulbs to now LED bulbs that shine a whole lot brighter. So as we grow, so does our light. It will grow and get brighter so that other people can see everything. You see, we need to always be growing in our spiritual walk. Christians are told to grow spiritually. We are told to not feast on the milk of the Word. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Hebrews chapter 5 tells us, starting in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You see, just as children start with milk, then they move to, you know, that little rice cereal, then to pureed vegetables, then pureed fruits, to French fries, to McDonald's chicken nuggets, because that, you know, that's the next progression in this. They grow and become more skilled in eating so that they don't get choked, to where one day they're eating the solid food that we eat. As we grow as Christians, taking the first oracles of God, digesting them, growing to the meat of the Word, our light grows brighter. You see, I think this is something that we all need. Creation is so important to us because it tells us everything that we need to know. Everything that we see today came from God. And it was all created by God for us to know Him. You see, it says that He created light as the very first thing. And as I did a word study on the word light, it comes up 253 times in Scripture, over 221 times in Scripture, is the word light. Sometimes used by seeing light, others by lifting something light, but always referring back to Jesus as the true light. So we need to make sure that we put God first in our lives because He created everything. We also need to make sure that we radiate our lights so that people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Not only that, we need to make sure that we show that light is good and that we expose those in darkness. That we go to them with love and we expose everything that we can about the oracles of God so that they can grow and become Christians as well. Maybe there's somebody here that hasn't let their light shine. Maybe, as my biggest flashlight here, the batteries are getting a little dull. Maybe we can encourage you tonight. Or maybe you've not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, put Him on in baptism. We can do that tonight as well. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.